Hey, it's time to bring in Brandon Adams, the host of Dog Nation Daily, that you can hear every Monday through Friday from noon until 1 right here on 960 The Ref. B.A., good morning. How are you, sir?
Good morning to both of you. Thanks for having me on the show.
We always look forward to having you on, and just give us your thoughts on the win over Auburn on Saturday.
Yeah, you know, David, I thought it was a great day for Georgia. And, you know, the thing that I've tried this week not to gloss over, both in the immediate aftermath of the game and even now after you've had a little more time to think of it, it's pretty daggum special to think that Georgia has taken control of this rivalry the way that it has. We can all remember the time when, at best, this rivalry was very close between both sides, and there was a stretch in the, you know, the 80s and the, part of the 90s where Auburn kind of had control of this thing. But to think that now Georgia has won 11 of 14, that's a real big statement that predates even Kirby Smart in terms of a real nice job of the Georgia program. Auburn's always going to be an intense recruiting rival of Georgia, and it certainly helps to beat them on the field. I thought the atmosphere was great on Saturday. It was fun to see the full stadium. It was fun to see the beautiful light-up Sanford the fourth quarter there. And I think the recruits were impressed with what they saw. I thought overall it was just a very good day for the program. I know there's one way of looking at this, that Georgia's just biding its time to get to the SEC championship, but you don't need a reason to want to beat Auburn, and Georgia got a chance to go out there and do that on Saturday, and I got to tell you, I really enjoyed it.
Talking with Brandon Adams, the host of Dog Nation Daily. All right, you've gotten a lot of conversation about the fake field goal, and what were your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so as a strategic decision during the game, I don't really like it because I just think it's too cute. Now, I love Rodrigo, but the fact that they've now tried to fake two field goals with Rodrigo in the last four games seems a little weird. If it was a design to, Kirby Smart let Gus Malzahn know how he feels about him, at that point in time, I'm a little bit more okay with it. And I think there's a chance, even though Kirby Smart is going to say opposite of that, I think there's a chance that's what that was. Look, I mean, in the nature of rivalries, you know, coaches, there's nothing wrong with them maybe not loving each other. There's nothing wrong with the two, you know, fan bases, two programs having a little bit of an edge against each other. And I think there may be a healthy distaste in this Georgia-Auburn rivalry now between Kirby and Malzahn. Malzahn obviously said what he said last November after Auburn got the win. Maybe Kirby's memory of that's a little more intense than he's led on. So if this was a way of tacking on an extra touchdown at the end of that game, I'm not so sure that's such a bad thing. I think SEC football is kind of fun when there's a little bit of juice on both sides. And so from that standpoint, I guess I'm kind of okay with it. I'm certainly not scandalized by it. I mean, the Auburn people are going to act like it's the most unsporting thing that they've ever seen in a football game. But I can promise you there were a lot of things being said by their side after that game in November, beyond even just Malzahn's comments with the dog crap. They were certainly having a good time last November, and I guess, you know, maybe a turnabout's fair play in that regard.
Brandon Adams from Dog Nation Daily. Yeah, I like the fact, too. It's like, all right, something like that happens. I like the mindset Georgia took last year, you know, with the, what was that, the screen, reverse screen, whatever it was that they ran at the end of the game. Is like, you know, the thing is, all right, well, we won't forget that. And then, you know, the dog crab comment. It's like, okay, we'll keep that in mind. You know, it's like, don't just go crazy at that point in time. Just remember that everything kind of turns back around.
And, well, as I said on the show this week, too, I'm sure Malzahn will get his revenge in a couple years by saying bad things about Kirby Smart when he's working as a TV analyst.
Oh, hello. Hello. I love it. I love it. Brandon Adams, Dog Nation Daily.
Brandon, that actually leads me right into what I was going to ask you next. If you think he's a TV analyst, how soon do you kind of foresee that happening? Is he on a tight rope right now that they may actually fork in and pay that massive buyout? And I know he just got sort of a nod of confidence, but what do you expect from a college program at any time, especially during the regular season? Do you think Malzahn has coached his final Deep South's oldest rivalry?
I don't, and I'll tell you why. I think that they want to put it out there, and I think they floated this rumor a few weeks ago that they were willing to move off of Gus Malzahn, that the money would not be an issue. And if Auburn truly wanted to, it's going to be able to find the money from somewhere. And yet, when you just signed the 7-year, $49 million extension last year, apart from could you raise enough money to, you know, pay that buyout, it becomes the embarrassment for the university president, who's the one that agreed to that decision because in the heat of having won the SEC West, they were afraid of losing him to Arkansas. think this is one of those deals where they don't want to come across like they're cheap and can't afford to pay the buyout, but it would be a huge loss of face for the university president if they indeed had to make the decision right now. It's the kind of thing that I think could maybe even cost him his job because of just the lack of financial prudence to make a decision such as that. Plus, I'm not so sure right now there's a great candidate out there as a possible replacement, unless Urban Meyer has just worn out his welcome so much at Ohio State that he would become on the open market. I don't know that Jeff Brohm, who's likely leaving Purdue, maybe for Louisville. I don't know if that gets people excited. Matt Campbell from Iowa State. I don't know if that would get people excited. I mean, maybe there's a candidate with ties to Auburn that I'm not aware of, but I just think it would be too hard to make that move now, although there is no doubt that after another loss to Georgia, to really put your finger on the pulse of Auburn fans, there's a lot of dissatisfaction. It's really strange to see the way that Auburn is up one year, down the next, up one year, down the next. That's the only thing that's consistent about the program is how wildly inconsistent it has been. And I do think there are a lot of Auburn fans who are tired of that, but they may be, despite their public claims to the contrary, they may be in a bit of a financial bind.
Well, you're leaving out a very obvious candidate, Bobby Petrino. Boy, he wanted that Auburn job. He wanted it badly, badly, badly. And, hey, now he's a candidate again. I'm kidding, but it is funny how far he's fallen.
Yeah, I know it is. And, the thing about Petrino is he clearly knows offensive football. Like, he's a smart coach,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
The two things he's always had going against him is, my understanding is, he's just a terrible person. And he's a guy that's not a good recruiter. And it's not a surprise those two things might go hand in hand. We all remember the way that he left the Falcons. It was ugly. The letters on the lockers, not speaking to the men face to face as a man probably should. And a guy that can't handle that thing the right way is probably also not going to be very good at generating the kind of relationships necessary to build a roster. And there were a lot of people who predicted that the second go-around for Petrino at Louisville would not go well because eventually all that were going to be left were the players that he recruited, and that's never that good of a thing. If you give him a stacked roster, let him call plays, he's going to do pretty well. But if you have to ask him to build his own program, he's not going to do as well with that. So if his final chapter in the winter of his career is some offensive coordinator saving somebody else's program, I'd imagine Petrino is still probably a pretty valuable commodity in that sense because not every offensive coordinator has to recruit very much these days, it seems like. But in terms of being a head coach, I just think he's kind of proven himself to be deficient in some of the soft skills necessary.
Brandon, we're coming off a stretch right now, four consecutive games for Georgia against ranked opponents, throw the bye week in there, 5 weeks of just pretty much a gauntlet. Now, we look at the schedule this week, you see the word UMass. I can kind of understand why players would look at that and think, finally, we get a chance to breathe on a Saturday, kind of an off day, if you want to say that. But what are you expecting from I guess coaches and players and even fans alike, being that it'll be Thanksgiving week, classes will be let out after a big atmosphere against Auburn. What are your expectations for the atmosphere as a whole this coming Saturday?
Well, I'll admit that I think there are probably a lot of people who are in my boat. Now, I work on Saturday, so I don't get a chance to go to the games as a fan, although I do miss getting to do that. But I know for my family, I have a 6-year-old son, a 3-year-old daughter. They've both been dying to come to a game. This is the best game to take them to, so I think my wife's going to go on Saturday and take both of them because they want to be there. And I think there are a lot of people kind of in the same boat of, hey, for the Auburn game, that's not, that's maybe not the best environment for young kids because the stadium is going to be crowded and it's going to be an intense atmosphere. But the next Saturday against UMass is a great time to do that. So you'll probably have a lot of people in the stadium that don't go to every game, a lot of people in the stadium who maybe are excited about being at the only game they'll get to see all year long. So maybe, they make noise because they're glad to be there. But from another standpoint, you may have, like my situation, where some young kids in the building otherwise wouldn't be there. So the honest truth is it's probably not going to be that intense of an atmosphere. Georgia's had, as you said, a kind of a nice run here, and it's got some big games to come, hopefully before the 2018 season is done, at least one gigantic game of the SEC Championship, and then we'll see what happens beyond that. So, listen, I know it's been kind of a controversial subject this week with Nick Saban on the subject of Tua Tagovailoa. Georgia maybe has its own deal with that when it comes to DeAndre Swift, who is incredibly healthy now, but probably wasn't at the beginning of the season. I wouldn't care if Swift didn't get a single carry on Saturday. I mean, I don't think he needs any more tuning up. I don't think he needs any more work. He's obviously in great, great condition right now. I don't want to risk that at all. Wrap him in bubble wrap and put him on the sideline. Let James Cook and Brian Herring get some extra carries. And let's see Georgia just get ready for the more important games to come after this. So, you know, I don't want to say Georgia's earned a week off, but, you know, certainly, you know, this will probably end up feeling a bit like a week off. And I'm not so sure that's such a bad thing.
We'll take off our red and black glasses for a moment. If the playoffs started today, Bama versus Michigan and Clemson versus Notre Dame, do you think the four best teams are 1 through 4?
I think that Georgia has a chance of beating Alabama. And I know you talk about red and black glasses. That sounds like just the kind of thing that, you know, three guys talking in an Athens radio station would say.
What would you expect?
Right. And yet I do think there's some stuff to back this up. First of all, I believe that Georgia will be the best team Alabama plays all season, and Alabama may still win. They just may be unbeatable this year, but I think Georgia will be the best. You know, the only team other than Alabama that Vegas would have as a point spread favorite over Georgia is Clemson, and maybe that's justified, maybe that's not. They would have to play for us to know that. But some of the Vegas sports books would have Georgia as a slight favorite the last time they published these odds against Michigan. About a 3.5-point favorite over Notre Dame. So I don't think it's too much of an exaggeration to say that Georgia belongs right there in that conversation with the top five. Now, Trevor Lawrence is a very good quarterback, and Clemson's got a very good defensive line. You know, Alabama's obviously, you know, built of what it's made of. We'll find out a little bit more about Michigan when it closes out its regular season against Ohio State. Probably won't see much in the Big Ten title game against Northwestern. But I believe that right now there are five teams a cut above all the rest. I think Georgia's in that group. For instance, the Oklahomas and the West Virginias and the Washington State. I don't believe they belong in that conversation, but I do believe that Georgia has every right to put itself in that group.
Brandon, a couple questions real quick about recruiting. You and Jeff Sintel do a fantastic job on your podcast, A Dog Nation Daily, covering all things high school players that could or could not come to Georgia. But last night, a not-so-surprising announcement from John Emery, once committed to Georgia, has committed to the hometown LSU Tigers. Where does that leave Georgia? I know that he was sort of out of the mix anyway, but what is Georgia looking at now for potential running backs to fill that slot in this class?
So this past Saturday, Georgia had a chance to host Kenny McIntosh, who's a four-star running back from down in Fort Lauderdale. By all estimations, that visit went really well. I think that McIntosh likes Georgia a lot. In fact, you know, he's been, you know, touting Georgia's RBU a bit as of late. So that's an option. There is also, you know, the scheduled visit this Saturday for Noah Cain, who's a four-star running back from IMG Academy. He's high school teammate with Trey Sanders, who's thought to be in Alabama land. It's probably the, you know, best tandem of running backs we've seen on one team together in, at the high school level in quite some time. There's also been some scuttlebutt and some rumor that maybe Cain's not coming for UMass, that maybe he's coming for Georgia Tech, or, you know, there's all kinds of online rumors about what may or may not be going on with that. But the last official report was, is that Cain was coming for the UMass game. So in the absence of John Emery Jr., as you said, now has committed to LSU, it's maybe a Noah Cain from IMG Academy. It's maybe a Kenny McIntosh from down in South Florida. And I guess as a fan, one of the things I'm curious about is, you know, it's always really hard to pull a player out of Louisiana, especially a five-star running back. If Georgia was in the mix with Emery for a while, had his commitment for a while, lost it, and then just turns around and gets the next best available running back, then nothing's been lost. What you hope for as a fan, though, is the time spent on Emery, which was always going to be a little bit of a long shot because of the state you're trying to pull him from. If that was, you know, at the expense of establishing running backs, relationships with running backs that you could have gotten, then maybe you can say that Georgia made a slight mistake here. But the other huge caveat to all of this is that I think a lot of recruiting analysts will tell you that the following year, 2020, when you think about like guys like Kendall Milton from out in California, that's a very deep year for elite running back. So if Georgia has to, and I hate to use this word, but there's no better way to say it, settle for you know, a number 8, number 9, number 10 running back in America, you know, coming back in 2020, there could be a chance to really tab a big-time blue chipper just because there are a pretty significant crop of those, and a lot of those already have pretty good relationships with Georgia.
I know a lot of names you just mentioned have Georgia fans intrigued, but a lot of us need to remember that Zamir White is not going anywhere, and I've got expectations personally for him next year. What are your thoughts on just his immediate future with Georgia?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question, Logan, and I talked about this on my show a little bit yesterday, that when John Emery Jr. spoke to Jeff Sintel after his original decommitment, Jeff asked him, why'd you do it? He said, the depth chart. time, that didn't seem to make a lot of sense because the Georgia running game wasn't clicking then the way that it is now. But DeAndre Swift is going to be at Georgia for another year. Elijah Holyfield could be at Georgia for another year. James Cook was number five running back in the country last year for the class 2018. You know, he could play more next season. I still think that Zamir White is going to be, you know, one of these incredible competitors on the recovery road from his injury, and I still think that Zamir White's got a very bright future ahead as well. So, you know, you're certainly right, Logan, to say that Georgia doesn't have an immediate need at running back, which may be one of the reasons why Emory soured on Georgia. But Holyfield could also choose to go to the NFL. Brian Aaron could do the same thing. And then all of a sudden that Georgia does have, you know, some depth that has to be refilled there. So it's kind of a tricky situation depending on how things go, both in terms of White's recovery and Holyfield's looming decision, upcoming potential decision, in terms of just how much Georgia really does need a running back to the class of 2019.
Brandon, always great to talk to you on Wednesday mornings, and we'll catch you again next week, and we'll always be listening on the podcast, Dog Nation Daily. Thank you.
Thanks, Brandon.
Y'all stay dry, all right?
Yeah, absolutely. Brandon Adams, the host of Dog Nation Daily, noon to 1, right here on 960 The Ref.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.